You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on November 27, 2024, and is titled, Outside the Camp. So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Pretty little show tonight. It's a pretty quaint little show here. Hey, we got a special treat for everybody tonight, though, when we get started here in a minute. The Murphs are going to sing, and everybody's doing the Thanksgiving thing. It's almost the most wonderful time of the year, and so everybody's all cooking, and it's getting cold outside, and all the normal trappings, and so we'll have a big day tomorrow. I hope everybody has a big day tomorrow hanging out with your family, and it's always nice for, at least one week out of the year that we've focus on being thankful. That's not a bad plan, to at least one week out of the year focus on being thankful. So that's what we're doing. So tonight we're going to talk about that a little bit. So everybody's tuned in, and this little group, I don't make all you people in the back scoot up here to the front, but we're going to get Lauren up here after we get through singing. And they took a trip to North Carolina the other day and helped out for about a week down there with the hurricane victims, and I thought it'd be a really nice testimony on the night before Thanksgiving. Just, some of us are extremely blessed with what we have, and we're extremely blessed in this area with all the natural disasters that have happened across our country in the last 12 months, right here, other than a nice gentle West Texas breeze every now and then, we've been in pretty good shape around here. And so just an awful lot to be thankful about. We're a lot of us are very thankful. We feel like our country may be headed into a good place or a better place. And I hope that our communities and things will follow suit. I'm very thankful that revival is truly beginning in our country. I believe across our land there's a true awakening. You've heard me talk about that a lot, that we're going to move into the realm of realized faith as opposed to religious faith. And I think religious faith has adopted a assimilation of replacement theology, where we've replaced reality with what we want to fixate on in a religious community. So, we're leading up into a time of celebrations and ceremonies, and that's all fine and dandy for everybody that wants to participate. And we have our own, each house to his own. We all have our own different ways of dealing with whatever it is we're dealing with and what we enjoy and what we don't enjoy. The thing about it is, Jesus doesn't say anything about any celebrations. Thanksgiving is a, I'm going to talk about a coffee with the Colonel in the morning, but it really began with George Washington in America after a great victory and looking at what the hand of God had done. He'd seen the finger of God in so many situations and so many battlefields and so many different opportunities that they called for across the colonies for a time of Thanksgiving. It was going to be like the 26th of November or something. And so all the way back then, thankful that for freedom, thankful for the idea of a nation. It hadn't even come to full fruition yet. But just the idea of freedom and freedom to worship and freedom to live caused for a man to declare a whole day of Thanksgiving. It didn't replicate anything about pilgrims and turkeys. It's just about a bunch of guys that had been getting their butts blown off, and they were just glad they were still winning. They saw God intervene. And so when you look around at us on the battlefield and the things that we've still got going on and the things that we fight for as a people and at our own kitchen tables, in our own school systems, in our own local governments, and across our nation, what we want to see happen and how we pray to God every day and you see God operating in these things, then you become thankful. not for just what I have, but thankful for what's possible. And here's the number one thing, and this is the lesson that I learned. I've been learning the hard way this week. You know them ones you learn the hard way, you'll remember them. But being thankful for the people around you, the people that assist you, the people you're married to, the people, your neighbors, the people you go to church with, the people that run your soundboard, the people who clean up around here all the time that nobody ever sees what they're doing, the people who keep your electricity on. I don't just go down the list. Thankful for people. How much of our Thanksgiving is thankful for what we have? Thank you, Lord, for all that I've been given. Well, you know my greatest asset? I'm surrounded by a lot of people. I'd rather be surrounded by a lot of people as I would be on a deserted island. Now, some days I have to remind myself that Monday a deserted island was looking really good. But the truth of the matter is, what would you do without people? And when you appreciate people and you become thankful for people, it gets easier to tolerate people. Sometimes people are not easily tolerated. But through thankfulness, you can put up with a lot because the good so far outweighs the bad. I mean, for every knucklehead, there's 427 really good people. Now, that's just a scientific evaluation I made on my own, but it's 427 to 1, best I can tell. So, yeah, and these are just some things I've just been working on myself. You know how good a horse sale does without people? Zero. Same way with good fellowship. The generosity that we're able to extend across our community and across the globe out of this little place would not happen without people. People who participate. So, in all of our thankfulness, I'm just going to make my focus to try to be a little more thankful for the people around me, and I'm going to try hardest on the ones I don't like. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of do the blanket thing so I'm all right with Jesus. I think I love everybody, but there's some people I don't like. And, you know, I guarantee I ain't the only one in here. There's people that you can tolerate at the grocery store, but you don't want to ride around to pick up with you. Well, I'm going to get to where I want to figure out how to appreciate and be thankful. Be thankful for the biggest sinner on the earth because he might have the most potential to be saved. Did you ever think about that? Yeah, I have today. Try to do better. It's not easy. I think it's really hard. And then I thought about Jesus this morning. That guy knows everybody and knows everything about everybody. I mean, I don't know nothing about some people, and just the way they drive ticks me off. Or the way they run in a building in front of you and let the door slam in your face. Or just pick a spot, just don't even know anything about them, and I'm already sure they must just be terrible people. And he was going to die for the whole mess. The whole mess. The good, the bad, the ugly. And at that time, I fit in 2 out of 3 categories. Good wasn't part of it. And he died anyhow. He went and did it anyhow. He wept over them anyhow. Prayed anyhow. As sorry a bunch of suckers as we've been. And so as I pondered on that this morning about Thanksgiving, you know, sometimes I think people get what they deserve. what we should pray for is you get what you don't deserve. The same way I did. So, that's the pregame warm-up today. Just give you a little something to go on here for the next little bit. Let's pray and get the Murphs up here. Lord, I just want to thank you this morning. We do thank you this evening. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your life, death, and resurrection. And gives every person, the good, the bad, and the ugly, every one of them an opportunity for a second chance. And Lord, that's all we need is a second chance. And we're probably going to need that more than once. So Lord, we just give you thanks for that today. A lot to be thankful for in this old United States of America. A lot to be thankful for right here in Mule Shoe, Texas. A lot to be thankful for right at our kitchen tables. This little fellowship right here, Lord, we got a lot to be thankful for. So, Lord, we just tell you thank you today. And bless you, Lord, and bless our time together. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You know, there's two times in that Jesus was impressed or moved by man. One of them was by a Roman centurion soldier that just said, "If you'll just say the word, my servant will be healed." And he said, "I ain't seen faith like this in all of Israel." He wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't even a religious guy. And then this Samaritan man there was 10 of them. They weren't Jews. They weren't religious people. They were Samaritans that had leprosy. And he came to the city and he healed them. But one of them returned. And when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice he glorified God. And he fell down on his face. His feet, giving Jesus thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, "Where's the rest of them? You're the only one." Came back, and all he did was just say thank you. So just exactly what we're doing tonight, what we're going to do tomorrow, what we do every day, what we should do every day.
We're going to get Lauren down here. Come on, Lauren. While we're doing that, I want to share with you scripture that was the centerpiece of our Bible study yesterday morning. I thought Bible study was really good. Those of you that were here or tuned in, you will get to hear this again just right quick. But one of the things it talked about outside the camp, it talked about Jesus being crucified outside the camp. The sacrificial animals were killed outside the camp, but it was all about outside the camp. We have preached this way since we've been here. We believe this way forever, that whatever you're going to do with God really is going to happen outside. Life happens outside. Everything's pretty, we're in a pretty controlled atmosphere right here. And so, but here's what he says to outside the camp. Therefore, verse 12, chapter 13, Hebrews. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. It's what Murphy just got through singing about. Praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To go do good and to share, that has nothing to do really with what we command religiously, but to consider others more important than ourselves and to make ourselves available. And you can only do that out of a heart of thankfulness. you can kind of simulate it out of a heart of duty and kind of like earning some brownie points or something. But when you're truly thankful for what the Lord and people have done in your life, then it becomes real easy for a man to be obedient to God. When God sees somebody over here and he says, hey, would you intervene in that? Would you step into that? Would you step up and make a hand here for just a minute? Because God gave us the Word, and God gave us His Holy Spirit. But if you'll look at the majority of everything else that we enjoy in our lives, that we give God praise for, there's somebody's fingerprints on it. Humans assisting humans because of the Creator of the universe. And that's just what Lauren and them did, is they packed up and took off to North Carolina. And I'm going to get him to share a little bit about that and how that works. Tell us a little what you did.
First of all, I want to make a disclaimer here. When I do the slideshow whenever Jim and Ron are singing, and when I mess up, it's Leonard's fault for not training me better. So just want to get that out of the way.
No, we
decided, Jack and I love to travel, just take off and go, no agenda, no anything. Well, we finally got some time. We decided we want to go back east and look around. And of course, the Helena victims out there, we thought, I wonder if there's anything we could do that way to help. Lost you. There we go. He's mad at me now. Anyway, so we got online there and started looking to see if there was some place to volunteer, and we found several different places there. And so I just picked one. It was the Baptist on Mission. Can't say enough good about these people. We sent them an email, and they said, and on their website, they told us that they probably couldn't use any help because there were so many people helping that they just couldn't take everybody. And so we didn't figure we were going to get to do anything. And sure enough, the next day they replied and said, come on. And so we loaded up a chainsaw and headed that way. And of course, I don't know about y'all, but when something like that happens, well, then you're all of a sudden the doubts start creeping in. You know, we don't know anybody. We're going to a strange place. And our Lord, are you sure we're supposed to go there? And anyway, you get all them doubts. But anyway, we just sucked it up and went anyway and got out there. And we stayed at a place called Lotus Grove Baptist Church. And the Baptists had set up a place there at the church where we slept in the fellowship hall. They fed us. They did everything. We were a part of a six-man team there. There were people from New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, Florida, Texas. It was just a great experience. We were putting a team with four other people. One, a lady from Ohio, just came down there off for vacation, spent her vacation time to come and help. Guy from Pennsylvania, he was a construction foreman for a company, and he came down. He was a team leader. And Jackie and I, and then we had two guys from North Carolina, the Lumbee tribe. I'd never heard of the Lumbee tribe. It's a Native American tribe. Anyway, these guys were funny. They were smart. They were independent businessmen, and they were distant cousins. They met each other in third grade, been friends ever since, and they were both named Mike Locklear. And so we just got to where we called him Daryl and his other brother Daryl. And anyway, it was just a great experience with those. But anyway, we'd go out of a morning to somebody's house, and usually it was cutting down trees or cleaning up in their basement, you know, just whatever it took. And when we went, we would take a goodie bag of different things, and we'd also take a Bible, and when everybody had signed their name in that Bible, and then give that to the person or the family we were helping there. And so, you know, and it, you talk about the devastation. There were so many heartaches, but at the same time, those people were just wonderful. I mean, everybody pulled together. It was a team effort. You could tell they'd circled the wagons, and they were helping each other to come out of this deal. By the time we got there, everything, you know, they were back to 98% normal. It was just, you know, along the riverbeds where it washed out. And, I mean, pictures don't do justice to what you see when that happens. I mean, you see cars rolled up just, it's unbelievable what that water will do to a car running over rocks and stuff. And of course, I don't know how many people are still unaccounted for out there, but they're never going to find a lot of those people. We were at a place, there was along a river, and there was only like four or five buildings still standing, and the only reason they were standing, they were made out of brick or cement. One church, a Presbyterian church, was built in 1905. They added on to it in 1950. It was two-story, and there was mud a foot deep in the second story in that, wow. Yeah, in that church. And of course, you know, it just heartache. There was an RV camp, over 100 RVs in it, gone, nothing left. Just, I mean, you just can't imagine the devastation until you see it. But I mean, the people were so good. I mean, there was heartaches, there was tears, but at the same time, everybody was pulling together, and most of them were Christian, and they just, I mean, you can't say enough good about the people out there. They're just like us, down-to-earth folks, and just happy to see you coming, and it was really a great experience. We only worked there for 3.5 days. We were dog-tired, you know, but it was a good dog-tired, and you just, I mean, when do you feel God's pleasure? Us, I mean, me, I think most of you are like this. You feel it best whenever you're helping others. And everybody was more than willing to talk about Jesus. He had some great conversations. You get back at camp and get to talking to people and see where they came from and what their ideas were. And I can't say enough about the good experience we had helping others. And it's just Jesus was right in the middle of everything. Just, yeah.
So Lauren, you said something there that just really struck a nerve with me. What was some of the responses when they got a Bible? Because I'm sitting here thinking that you wake up one morning, and if you do survive it, you don't have anything left. You don't have a clean pair of socks, clean pair of underwear. You got what you got on. But you know the first thing I'd miss in the morning? Where's my Bible? That would be devastating.
Yeah, I agree. I've got Bibles stacked all over my house, and you know I've got them stashed away. I've got a Bible that won't, you even if it gets wet, you can still read it. My Bible is one. I mean, I want a Bible. I mean,
yeah, so how were they when you had it in the Bible?
Oh yeah, tears. Just grateful. Just, I mean, of course you've lost everything, or you've lost a lot of stuff. You can't imagine the tree damage out there. The trees falling on houses, the water damage. I mean, they were telling me that in some parts they had like 36 inches of rain in 48 hours. I mean, 36 inches of rain even out here on flat country would be a huge problem. So,
yeah, when I was in Baxley, Georgia, right after that, and I came back and told y'all I was thankful that we lived in a place where there's no trees. Because all those great big tall trees just fell on top of everything. That was the whole devastation. I mean, everybody's house had a tree in it now, and every business had one or two trees laying across the top of it. But, you know, sitting here talking about that thankfulness and the things to be thankful for, you know, we've had this visit sometimes with some of our overseas missionaries, different people like that we visit with. And in America, where the Word of God is spoon-fed to you, and sometimes it's even re-seasoned so it tastes a little better, goes down a little easier. I wonder in America today just how thankful we really are for the Word of God. And maybe if it disappeared for a minute, I wonder if we'd notice it was missing. We haven't in the last 50 years. And so when you said that about handing them those Bibles, and signing your names in them. And for those, sure enough, Bible believers and followers, and you wake up one morning and you don't have your Bible anymore, that's a big, big deal, and something that we can all learn something from. And today, tomorrow morning, or tomorrow at lunch when everybody's...
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.